Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Lord, we bless your name because you are good and your mercy endures forever. We have seen your faithfulness and we have seen your goodness, and we are without any complaint when it comes to you being faithful in our lives. So, Lord, we worship you. You're a good, good God, and we bless your name. Lord, as we turn to your word, we open up our hearts to hear your word. Speak to us. Encourage us by the power of your word. Transform us by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, take God's word and build us up, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Wow. 12th August 2012. On that day, a very important event happened. It was in the London Olympics, and the marathon was happening. When the race began, all the runners were running as strong as they could. But a small group began to separate themselves from the rest of the runners. And later on, an even smaller group began to pull themselves away from the running pack. It was a pack of three men. Two of them were Kenyans. And in fact, one of the Kenyans, had won the most recent marathon. And everyone expected that the Kenyans would win the race. But with just above 4 kilometers left, as they began to get into the home stretch, a Ugandan by the names of Stephen Kiprotich began to make a burst for the final stretch. And he began to separate himself. I mean, he began to put in speed like no one expected. The gap became so big that by the time he finished the race and he came first, the second person crossed the line 21 seconds after him. Now, I tell you what, 21 seconds of running is no joke. I mean, this guy had established a good lead. And after the race, while they interviewed the runners, the guy that came second, who had won the previous marathon, said, "You simply sometimes have to acknowledge when someone has done well." And in the final stretch, his strength and speed are the reason he was able to finish strong and finish first. I watched on YouTube when Stephen Kiprotich returned. I mean, it was a hero's welcome here in Uganda. It was the first Olympic gold that Uganda had won in over 40 years. From the days of Akibua, I mean, it had been long. And he had returned to his hometown and he was being celebrated. There was a service in his honor. The bishops were there and he had put on this big suit and they'd put a sash of flowers around him. And he was together with his family, his wife and children. And the whole town came and then they interviewed him. They said, "Man, you're a hero. Man, you have brought so much joy to our nation. You've put Uganda on the map. Would you tell us what made you come in first position?" And he began to recount and tell them the story of the things that he had done and how he worked really hard and he had to relocate to Nairobi to practice there because the facilities were great and also because he had a team that he was practicing with. He said, "Do not underestimate the power of practicing with a team." And he began to tell them the hard work that he put in and how he would wake up and go for it and his diet and watch his sleeping and all these little things that helped him for that one moment crossed the line in first place. And that day, Stephen Kiprotich became a national hero. He was Uganda's Olympic gold medal winner and he placed Uganda on the map. Do you know why? Because he finished strong. And the difference came with those final 4 kilometers. Friends, we are in the final part of 2025. Help me turn to your neighbor and say, don't act like you're surprised. Come on, turn to your neighbor, tell him, don't act like you are surprised. We're in the final part of 2025. And listen, today is the 9th of November. We have 52 days left. Help me count for your neighbor. Tell him 52 days, 52. We have 52 days left. And we're in the final stretch of 2025. Now, I don't know what kind of year it has been for you, for your family, for your business, for you and your children, your parenting, your career. I don't know what kind of year 2025 has been, but here is one thing I know, that you and I can finish 2025 strong in Jesus' name. I really believe it with all of my heart, that we can cross the finishing line at the end of 2025 and we can look back and say, look what God has done. These 52 days left can be the difference maker for 2025. Don't write off this year. Help me turn to your neighbor. Tell him God is not yet done with you yet. Come on, preach to them and tell him God is up to something in these 52 days left. If you believe God is up to something, would you shout amen? Because God is up to something. These 52 days left can make all the difference for 2025. And so as we close in the last part of our year, we want to revisit our theme for 2025. Bold, strong, courageous. And we want to ask ourselves, how do we finish strong while being bold, strong, and courageous? How do we finish strong? 52 days left. And I got to tell you, there is one thing that is going to make a difference. Bold vision. Bold vision. Bold vision will help you to finish strong in 2025. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9 in our Bibles. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, God is speaking. And he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God was speaking to Joshua. Moses had died. It was time for Joshua to step up and lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It was his assignment to carry now. He had been Moses' assistant for many years. But now he needed to step into Moses' shoes and lead the children of Israel to the promised land. And God began to paint a picture for Joshua of the size of the task that he was leading him into. And the first picture that God gives him is the picture of the land that he needed to conquer. And so in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4, God said to him, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. God gave him a picture of the expanse of the land. That this is the land I am calling you to conquer. This is the land that I have set aside for you. And now, Joshua, you will lead the children of Israel. Now, this was a big task. It was insurmountable. It was audacious. It was big. It was a big vision. It was a big assignment that God had placed on Joshua's shoulders. Because just in his own experience, he wouldn't have made it. First of all, he's stepping into the shoes of a very brilliant leader. Moses was a brilliant leader. He was a strategic leader. Moses had walked with God. He was a friend of God. He had God's voice. He received the Ten Commandments. He led them across the Red Sea. God had used him in a mighty way to lead the children out of Egypt. And now Joshua has to step up and take up that responsibility. On his own, he couldn't handle. But I love the fact that God encouraged him and said, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That was a word to encourage Joshua, because the expanse of the land that he was to conquer was huge. And remember, the promised land already had inhabitants. So there were going to be battles to fight. There were going to be challenges to navigate. It was not going to be easy. So when God paints a picture of the size of land, Joshua must have been overwhelmed, but praise God that he had assured him of his presence. Can I just stop there to say, I pray that you will walk with God, and that as the presence of God is with you, you will finish 2025 strong in Jesus' name. I pray that you will sense the presence of Holy Spirit every day for the next 52 days, and that you will have this confidence. I will be bold, I'll be strong, I'll be courageous, because the Lord my God is with me. And here is the promise that we have. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Help me preach to your neighbor and tell him, you are not on your own. The Lord your God is with you. Turn to them and tell him, you will finish strong in Jesus' name, because he is with you. I really believe that you and your family will finish strong. I really believe you'll finish strong in your academics in Jesus' name. I really believe in your career you'll finish strong in Jesus' name. I believe that in your business and your work you will finish strong in Jesus' name. I believe you'll finish strong in your health in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Watoto Church is going to finish 2025 strong in Jesus' name. Why? Because God gives vision. And that vision is what keeps us going. Maybe you're in this place and you're saying, Brian, why does this even matter? Do you know what 2025 has been like for me? Do you know the things I've got to navigate? Do you know the challenges I've faced? Do you know the difficulties I've had to walk through? Do you know the enemies that are against me? Do you know the battles I've had to fight? When you say you're going to finish strong because you have vision, I don't understand what you're saying, because it hasn't been great on my side. And maybe you've written off 2025. And you're saying, this, why does this even matter? Let me tell you why it matters. It matters because this is what the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Bible says, where there is no vision, in other words, where there is no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Without vision, people perish. Without vision, families perish. Without vision, organizations perish. Without vision, businesses perish. Without vision, careers perish. Without vision, cities and nations perish. Vision is so key if you're going to run your race of life and finish strong for the glory of God. If you're going to run in a way that you're going to finish 2025 strong in these next 52 days, you need vision, because without vision, people perish. And that word perish simply means that people cast off restraint. In other words, people live loosely where there is no vision. Absence of vision leads to abuse. It leads to waste. Careers, families, marriages, education, resources are wasted because of no vision. It matters that we have vision. And these next 52 days are going to be a test of vision. What is vision? Vision is a redemptive revelation of God. What does that mean? God is on the move on the earth. And he's walking through his people. And one of the ways God sets us up for his move, to move in us and move through us, is by giving us vision. Why? God is redeeming the world. people are getting saved. People are coming to saving knowledge of Jesus. Lives are being transformed. Nations are being healed. And God has a plan and purpose for every single one of us so that we can play our part in what God is doing on the earth. And that redemptive revelation is one that you who was transferred from darkness when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you came to his marvelous light, you who he redeemed, you now become his agents of redemption. You're his redemptive agent in your family. You're his redemptive agent at the university in your hostel. You're his redemptive agent in that lecture room. You're his redemptive agent at your place of work. You're his redemptive agent in that building where your business operates. You're his redemptive agent online with your social media. You're God's redemptive agent, and God doesn't just want you to go about that work blindly, so he gives you a picture. And vision is that picture of God's preferred future for you that begins to stir up a passion in you. God gives you a picture. It's like somebody who wants to live in a house. The mission is, I want to have my own home. And so you sit with an architect and they begin to get into the ideas that are in your mind. And they take those ideas and they put them on paper. And you begin to live in that home and experience that home before it is even built. That is what vision is. You begin to see your life. God gives you a glimpse of the future of your life and where he wants you to go. Before you've even stepped there, he's begun to download something into your heart. And that's what vision is. We all need that picture from God. Why? Because vision will help you to live with intentionality. It brings clarity and takes away the confusion. Vision will begin to direct your resources. Vision will cause you not to waste time. Because vision comes from God. Vision speaks about the future that God has for you. Vision begins to stir up passion. Your heart and your mind are engaged because you now know where God wants you to go. And therefore, you're focused. You're one idea. You're like, this is what I exist for. This is my one thing. And you begin to go after it with everything you have. And the kind of people that finish strong are the people who have that vision that brings focus, clarity, intentionality, that brings into alignment with God's purpose for your life. And you're like, this is why I exist. And you begin to go after it. Those people who are single-minded in their pursuit of what God has for them, those are the people who finish strong. Vision causes you to keep going even when there is no reason to keep going. Even when there is no evidence. We need vision. I wonder, do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision? Maybe you look back on 2025 and you ask yourself, what happened to 2025? Where did 2025 go? Could it be that you didn't have vision from God? Is it because you were not living with intentionality and with focus? Is it that because you've lived without vision, you've wasted your days? You've wasted relationships? You've wasted resources that God brought into your hands? But because there was no redemptive revelation from God, a picture from God to tell you this is the path I want you to walk, because of the absence of that, you've lived anyhow. There's not been any discipline. There's not been focus. You've cast off restraint. You've been doing this and that and the other. And now it is the 9th of November and you wonder where the year went. May God open your eyes to see what he sees, so that you can live with vision and intentionality, and that these 52 days will be about pursuing God's vision for your life. I pray that upon you. As a church, we have a clear vision. We are an English-speaking, cell-based community church, celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying as each one reaches one, touching those around us with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to the cities and the nations. Watoto Church was planted Easter Sunday 1984, over 41 years ago. But Gary and Marilyn quickly realized it was more than just planting a church. God wanted to bring about the healing and the transformation of not only Uganda, but of the continent of Africa. And that Watoto Church had a significant part to play. And God gave them this vision about bringing healing. And over the years, God continued to open new chapters of how we were going to bring healing. We began to come alongside the orphan child and the vulnerable woman in 1992. And that work began. And as we began that work, then suddenly over the years in 2008, we added another layer to that vision of caring for the vulnerable by going into our neighborhoods and coming alongside the neighborhood mother. And that was a layer of that side of the vision. But in 1996, 97, God began to transition us to become a cell-based community church. That was another layer of engaging with the pains in our community so that we can be part of the transformation and the healing of our communities. It was more than just about meeting in homes and encouraging one another, and we must do that. But God was expanding our vision and saying, don't just meet, but care for your community. And over the years, God has continued to reveal chapter upon chapter, like in 2012, leading us into the miracle offering. Watoto Church, you are blessed, but I want you to be a blessing. Take up an offering and give it away to extend the kingdom of God. 13 years later, we say, look what God has done. God has continued to add layer upon layer to the vision that he has given to us, because you know what? Vision is not static. Vision grows. God is always on the move. He doesn't give you the full picture, but as you faithfully follow along the picture that he's given to you, God continues to expand it. God continues to open new chapters. I pray in these next 52 days, as you pursue God's vision for your life, that you begin to see new chapters opening as God leads you into a fuller understanding of what his vision for your life really is, in Jesus' name. I pray that upon you, because vision grows. God brings new layers. Do you have a vision for your life? I really believe that as we live with vision that comes from God, specific for you, my friend, specific for you, my brother, my sister, I really believe that these next 52 days will make the difference for 2025, in Jesus' name. The Bible talks to us about a man called Nehemiah, who was key in the rebuilding of Jerusalem after it was attacked and the walls had been broken and many Israelites had been taken to Israel. One of those men was Nehemiah. He rises in his service and is now serving in the palace of the king. He was a cupbearer before the king. One day he's visited by some friends and they bring him news about how things in Jerusalem are. And they told him, listen, Nehemiah, things are not good at home. Jerusalem lies in ruins and her walls are broken. And his heart was heavy. But in that heaviness, God began to birth vision in Nehemiah's heart. And Nehemiah quickly understood that he needed to do something about the broken walls of Jerusalem, because the season of being in exile was finally over and people needed to begin going home. But someone needed to lead the work of rebuilding the walls. And Nehemiah began to sense in his heart, God began to stir him up, you will be that man. And so as he considered the ruins at home, it was in that pain that God birthed vision. Can I just stop there to say, my brother, my sister, the things that frustrate you in your family, the things that frustrate you in the sector where God has planted you, the things that frustrate you in this nation could be the things that God wants to use to birth vision in your life. Be aware of the pain. And that's why we say aim at the pain. God wants us to be his redemptive agents who are bringing healing, who are bringing transformation. And so when we pay attention to the pain, God begins to birth vision. Nehemiah paid attention. And as he began to follow that stirring that God was putting in his heart, in the end, the broken walls of Jerusalem were built. My prayer for you, my brother, my sister, is that as you begin to follow that stirring of vision in your heart, however small it may seem. May God water that seed and cause it to germinate into real transformation in your family, real transformation in your sphere, real transformation at your university, real transformation in your sphere for the glory of God. If you believe it, say amen. When we look at the story of Nehemiah, there are three things we learn that we must always do that cause us to step into vision and finish strong season after season. Three things that we must do that cause us to go from vision to reality, that cause us to live with intentionality, with clarity of purpose, that cause us to live in step with God's purpose for our lives. There are three things Nehemiah did from the time vision was birthed to the time vision became reality. And if we do these three things, believe me, not only will these next 52 days of 2025 be meaningful and fruitful for you, I believe it will carry on into 2026, and I believe it will carry on into the next season of your life in Jesus' name. Three things that we must do. Number one, stay in prayer. The kind of people that live with a bold vision and finish strong season after season, that cross the finishing line, that do not fall by the wayside, are people who stay in prayer. Listen, my brother, my sister, you've got to be a man and woman of prayer. Because if the vision God has given to you is to be accomplished, it will only be accomplished through prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is an expression of our dependence on God. Prayer is a statement of our limitedness and our acknowledgement of His unlimitedness. Prayer is saying, God, I need you because I recognize that the vision you've given to me can never be fulfilled in my own strength and power. But it's going to take you, God, to fulfill the very same vision you've given to me. The vision giver wants to give you the strength to fulfill the vision. And we must be men and women that get on our knees and cry out to Him season after season, day after day, hour after hour, until we see the vision become reality. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4, when I heard these things, when they had told him about the state of things at home, said, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He began to repent on behalf of the Israelites. He remembered their sinful history. And he said, God, have mercy on us. It is because of our sin that you led us into captivity. But you're the same God who led us through the wilderness. Why believe you have a plan for me? Because he understood that it would be only 70 years of them being in exile, they would return. The time of returning was now. And so he fasted, he prayed, his heart was broken. He understood we only ended up in this situation because we walked away from God. And so he began to pray. But as he's praying, God is farming up vision in his heart. But he knew he couldn't do it on his own. He needed favor. He needed God to open doors. How many know in this place that without God's favor, you cannot fulfill His vision for your life? That you need God's favor. I pray that the favor of God will be upon you in these last 52 days of 2025. And that you see God do some significant things in your life. Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11, Nehemiah prayed. He said, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He was going to go to the king and he was going to ask for permission to go and see how badly things were at home and to begin to do something. He needed favor before the king because you didn't just approach the king like that, but he knew God would open a door because this stirring in his heart came from the Lord. And so he went before the Lord and guess what? The Lord granted him favor and resources to do the work. I pray in the name of Jesus that his favor will be upon you, favor that opens doors that no man can shut, favor that puts you in rooms before your qualifications, prayer that gives you opportunities for promotion and for you to be able to express the things that God has placed in your heart and that you shall see them come to pass in Jesus' name. I remember when we wanted to plant Watoto Church Gulu, Watoto Church didn't have the resources, 2008. We didn't have the resources, but we knew we needed to go. And so we began to pray because we have a budget and we're stewards. We don't want to waste resources. So we trusted God for a financial miracle. God is so faithful. At that same time, another church in Australia was taking what is their miracle offering. They call it a different name. And we needed about $1 million to establish the church, to begin the children's villages, the work of trauma rehabilitation, the work in the neighborhood with the mothers. It was a lot of work that needed to happen because the leaders and the people had expressed to us the real pain on the ground. We didn't have the resources. We trusted God. That same church, God spoke to their leaders. They didn't even know what we were going to do, but God said, you need to send $1 million to a total church. The same amount we needed, God provided. Can I encourage you, my brother, my sister, be a man and woman of prayer and watch what God will do. These next 52 days could be the difference for 2025. Get on your knees. Do not give up in prayer and watch what God will do in Jesus' name. Stay in prayer. Secondly, keep moving forward. Help me turn to your neighbor. Tell him, keep moving forward. Come on, tell your neighbor, keep moving forward. We keep moving forward in pursuit of this bold vision that God has given to you and that God has given to us as Watoto Church, because bold vision requires action. Nehemiah stepped out boldly before the king to ask for permission to go. And he, on top of that, asked for resources. And God favored him and God gave him those resources and favor. But he did one more thing. He didn't get those resources and send them for the work. He left and went to Jerusalem. Bold vision requires bold action. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, Bible says, I, Nehemiah, went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Nehemiah relocated to Jerusalem to oversee the rebuilding of the walls. He inspected the walls, and then he cast vision to the people that he met, and when he did that, other hearts were stirred. And people signed up for the work. You see, your one step of action is going to inspire many others to begin to move in that same direction. And what looked impossible previously, with God, it will become possible. He began to rally support. He began to bring resources in supernatural ways that you cannot do on your own. Bold vision requires bold action. But here is the other thing about moving forward. Moving forward is about refusing to be distracted. Help me preach to your neighbor. Tell him, do not get distracted. Come on, tell your neighbor, do not get sidetracked. Tell him, keep moving forward. There were enemies to the work that Nehemiah was doing. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 6, 1 to 4, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Nehemiah refused to be distracted. These guys had other plans. They wanted to get him off course because they had ridiculed and laughed at Jerusalem for all these years. But finally, God was beginning to change their story. And now they were afraid of what God wanted to do. So they wanted to stop the work. They wanted to harm him. And so they were trying to distract him. But how many know that the Spirit of God gives us discernment and wisdom in season? That as we pursue God's vision for our lives, he keeps us on track and he helps us not to get distracted. And that's why prayer is important, because it is the thing that keeps you going. You keep moving forward and refuse to get distracted. It's like Jesus, after he's fasting and the devil tries to tempt him in Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness. And he tries to show him all these these kingdoms and these things he could offer him. But three times he tempted Jesus. Jesus said to him, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus was able to overcome Satan. My prayer is that you will lean on God's word and you lean on his spirit and that you will say to your enemies, it is written, it is written, it is written. Thus saith the Lord, this is his vision, this is my plan. I'll not get distracted, and that you see God fulfill vision in your life in Jesus' name. That is my prayer for you. Do not get distracted. There are some people you cannot afford in the next 52 days. There are some habits you need to get rid of in the next 52 days. There are some places you need to stop going. There is some music you need to stop listening to. There are some conversations you need to stop having. Because these next 52 days are not just about the next 52 days. They're about the next 52 years. How many know it's about the generations? There is so much more that God wants to do. There are certain things you cannot afford to engage with. What you need to focus on, this is God's vision. This is my race. And I'm going to give myself fully to it. Sometimes you get distracted by a lack of resources. We get distracted by people's opinions. We knew we needed resources to do the work of Watoto Child Care Ministries. In the 90s, economy was tough. God gave Gary and Marilyn the brilliant idea to start a children's choir and send the choir around the world to tell the story of what God was doing, not to go and beg for money, but to say, look what God has done, and invite people to be vision partners. It was a different strategy. But the children's choir needed to travel to find those resources. Marilyn walked up to British Airways. She shared the vision of what God had set on her heart and said, we need to travel. And then she made a bold ask. She said, would you give us tickets on credit? Who asks for tickets on credit? But when you're so convinced about God's vision for your life, God can line up things that you thought were impossible. And guess what? British Airways said yes. And they gave her the tickets on credit. The thing they asked her is, where are you going? God had put a map right there beside her. She looked at the map, and the first thing she saw was Chicago. She said, we're going to Chicago. No relationships, no contact. She just said, we're going to Chicago. And they gave them tickets to Chicago. And when they go to Chicago, they would sing at one church, sing at a restaurant, get a meal, continue to the next church. The people at that church would say, my kids go to this school. Why don't you go to that school? And then the next school, then before that, oh, we have services at our church. You guys should come. And today, more than 120 Watoto Children's Choirs have traveled, and they travel fully booked. Shall we give God the glory and give God the praise? When you keep going forward and you refuse to be distracted, there are things God can accomplish. Sometimes we feel too sorry for ourselves and we get distracted. Keep moving forward. Finally, if we're going to finish 2025 strong, pursuing the bold vision God has given to us, don't give up. Help me turn to your neighbor, tell him, don't give up. Help me tell your neighbor, don't give up. When we talk about not giving up, we're saying you need to persevere to the very end. There's going to be difficulties and opposition. Listen, yes, you are a child of God. Yes, you are highly favored, but you're going to face challenges. But when those challenges come, it's an opportunity for you to see God at work in Jesus' name. Nehemiah had enemies. They made fun of the work he was doing. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They couldn't give up. They couldn't stop. They were working day and night. So they had a sword in one hand. They had a shovel in the other. And every man was building right in front of his house. God blessed them, and they were able to rebuild the wall in record time. It took them 52 days. Scripture tells us in Nehemiah 6:15-16, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Is it a coincidence that there are 52 days left to the end of 2025? When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Don't give up. God is on your side. The Bible talks about vision, as I conclude, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2-3. Write down the revelation, the Lord said, and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. I pray over you that as you do not give up, may the vision that God has given to you come to pass, if not in your day, in the day of your children and the generation that comes after you. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We hear your voice speaking to us so clearly. You want to encourage us, Lord. You're saying, what sort of family, finish strong. Do not give up. Do not faint. Do not grow weary. You can finish 2025 strong. But you're calling us to grab a hold of vision. We need a bold vision that comes from you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, begin to show vision to your children. Lord, begin to download for them that picture in Jesus' name. May they understand with clarity what your plan and purpose for their lives is. Give them a vision. Wake them up in the night with clarity and focus in the name of Jesus around the vision you've given to them. Lord, do it right now. I pray that those who you'd given vision but had given up, Lord, give them grace and strength to rise up again. And in these 52 days, may they begin to see what no eye has seen, what no ears heard, and what no mind can imagine, the things you have in store. May you begin to shift things forward for them. We give you praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, listen. Jesus Christ had a vision to save humanity. And like Nehemiah, on the night that he was to lay down his life, Jesus was in prayer because he needed divine strength. And the Bible says that he received strength. Jesus kept moving forward. Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't shun the cross. He came to the cross. He went willingly. And he did not give up. And he did that because he loves you. You might have messed up your life and there is so much sin in your life, but I'm here to let you know that Jesus loves you. Would you surrender your heart to him today? Would you surrender your life to Jesus today? Today is the day of your salvation. You've been rejecting Jesus for far too long. You've been putting it off for far too long. There's been opportunities for you to give your life to Jesus. So this may be your very first opportunity. Do not reject Jesus. Receive him because he loves you. He died for you. And he wants to forgive you of your sin, save you, and make you a child of God. His vision is that you will be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place. You say, Jesus, that's me. I cannot go on rejecting you. Thank you for loving me. I surrender my life to you. If that's you with no one looking around, just lift up your hand. And you're not lifting it to me, you're lifting it to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Just lift up your hand. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you right over there. God bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Is there anybody else? You're saying, Jesus, here is my life. Here is my life. I want what you have for me, but it starts by me surrendering my life to you. Thank you. God bless you, my sister. Would you just lift up your hand? Thank you, real high. God bless you. Thank you. Jesus is that hand. You can keep it lifted up. Jesus is in this place. You're not lifting your hand to anybody. You're lifting it to one person. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that will save you. Is there anybody else? You say, Jesus, that's me. Here is my life. Here is my life. Take control of my life. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Is there anybody else? Some of you are in this place. You're saying, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I'd walked away from you. I'd gone back to my sinfulness, but enough is enough. I cannot go on living like this. I recommit my life. You're giving your life back to Jesus. Come on, lift up your hand. Jesus will never push you away. Jesus will never push you away. Saying, Jesus, today is my day. I recommit my life to you. We're about to close, but I want to encourage you. Would you lift up your hand and recommit your life to Jesus? You're saying, Jesus, that's me. I am coming back to you today. I want my whole life to belong to you. I don't want to play any more games with you. I'm serious about the decision I'm making. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Recommit your life to Jesus. Come back to him. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Today is the day of your salvation. It's the very last call. Is there anybody else? Just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, here I am. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Would you keep that hand lifted up? Would you pray this prayer after me? You've lifted up your hand. As you pray this prayer, you're making your personal commitment to Jesus. And Jesus today is going to come into your life and save you, and you'll be born again, a child of God, and you begin on the journey of walking into God's vision and purpose for your life. Pray this prayer after me, church. Let's pray together. Let's encourage everyone making this commitment, saying, "Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, come on, let everybody say amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey.